Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. 10 Undead Human Stories by Lee Yaron is a work of narrative journalism centered on the human aftermath of the October 7 attacks in Israel. Rather than treating the day as a single headline event, Yaron approaches it as a mosaic of individual lives disrupted or ended, drawing attention to the personal details that large-scale tragedies can erase. The book is structured around a wide range of people and circumstances, offering a multi-voice portrait that includes victims, survivors, families, and communities grappling with shock, grief, and unanswered questions. Through this human-first lens, the author aims to document what happened at the level where history is most fragile: names, relationships, routines, and choices made in minutes. The result is an account designed to preserve memory, convey emotional reality, and help readers understand the scope of loss without reducing it to numbers. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a mosaic of lives rather than a single narrative. One of the book's defining choices is to tell the story of October 7 through many separate human portraits. Instead of building a linear chronology with a single protagonist, the author assembles a composite picture from numerous individuals and families. This structure mirrors how public tragedies are actually experienced simultaneously, unevenly, and across different locations and social circles. By moving between distinct accounts, the book emphasizes that the day cannot be captured by one explanation or one emotional register. Some stories highlight ordinary routines interrupted, others show moments of improvisation and survival, and others confront the finality of loss. The cumulative effect is to replace abstraction with specificity, helping readers grasp the scale of the event without relying on statistics alone. The approach also underscores how every individual carried a network of connections, so each death or abduction rippled outward into friends, workplaces, schools, and entire communities. In this way, the book functions as both documentation and memorial, aiming to preserve identities and contexts that can fade when news cycles move on. The many-story format also invites readers to pause and absorb, encouraging empathy through repeated encounters with names, places, and personal histories. Secondly, everyday detail as a tool for bearing witness. The book foregrounds everyday details to show what is at stake when violence reaches into civilian life. The power of human stories often comes from small elements where someone grew up, what they were planning next week, how they spent their mornings, who depended on them, and what they loved. By focusing on recognizable ordinary realities, the author highlights the moral and emotional difference between reading about casualties and understanding who those people were. This method of bearing witness also resists the tendency of conflict narratives to become ideological shorthand. When the reader is placed close to personal contexts, the event is not just a political flashpoint, but a rupture in countless private worlds. The use of detail also communicates trauma in a way that broad summaries cannot. Disorientation, fragmented memory, and sudden decision-making are often more convincingly conveyed through the concrete: the last message sent, the place someone hid, the call that did not connect. Such elements help readers sense the immediacy of fear and uncertainty without requiring sensationalism. In addition, the emphasis on lived reality reinforces the ethical aim of testimony to treat people as whole persons, not symbols, and to keep their individuality intact even when describing collective suffering. Thirdly, community, family, and the long shadow of loss. A central theme across the accounts is how grief extends beyond individuals into families and communities. The book highlights that trauma is not confined to the moment of attack. It continues in the days and months that follow through mourning rituals, searches for information, and the exhausting work of supporting survivors. Families face the unbearable task of reconstructing what happened, making practical decisions amid emotional shock, and navigating public attention. Communities, meanwhile, confront shared loss and the challenge of preserving social fabric when many members are missing or dead. The narrative focus on multiple households and local settings reveals patterns that single case studies might miss the way support networks activate. The tension between privacy and public remembrance, and the difficulty of returning to ordinary life in places permanently marked by violence. The book also suggests that memory becomes a form of responsibility. People must decide how to speak about those who were killed, how to honor them without simplifying them, and how to hold on to personal histories while public narratives harden. By depicting grief as both personal and communal, the author broadens the reader's understanding of consequences. The event becomes not only a historical date, but an ongoing social reality that reshapes relationships, identity, and the meaning of home. Fourthly, journalistic reconstruction and the ethics of telling. Because the book is rooted in reporting and testimony, it implicitly raises questions about how such stories can be told responsibly. Reconstructing a traumatic event requires piecing together partial accounts, messages, timelines, and recollections that may be contradictory or incomplete. The author role becomes both investigator and steward of memory, responsible for accuracy while acknowledging uncertainty. The book approach also illustrates the ethical tension between urgency and care. Readers want to understand what happened, but those most affected may still be in shock, grieving, or living with ongoing fear. Presenting their experiences demands sensitivity, consent, and attention to how exposure can compound harm. Another ethical challenge is avoiding reductionism. In polarized contexts, stories can be used as ammunition rather than as testimony. The decision to center individual humanity can function as a guardrail, insisting on complexity and resisting easy categorization. At the same time, narrative journalism must balance vividness with restraint, conveying horror without exploiting it. By organizing the book around many lives, the author also distributes attention, signaling that no single story should stand in for all others. This topic matters because it shapes how readers interpret both the event and the act of documentation itself, highlighting the importance of responsible storytelling when history is being written in real time. Lastly, from shock to understanding what readers can take away, beyond documenting suffering, the book aims to move readers from stunned awareness to a more grounded understanding of impact. Many people encounter October 7 through breaking news, political commentary, or social media fragments. The book offers an alternative path, sustained attention to individual experiences that can deepen comprehension without demanding that readers adopt a specific ideological frame. This shift is important because outrage and disbelief often fade into numbness. By repeatedly returning to the human scale, the narrative keeps the emotional and moral stakes present. It also encourages readers to notice the limits of distant consumption of tragedy. When the story is told through names and relationships, readers are reminded that empathy requires time and humility, not quick conclusions. The book can also serve as a reference point for memory, helping readers separate what they know from what they assume and recognize the costs hidden behind summary claims. For some, the takeaway will be a clearer sense of the variety of experiences within a single day's survival: loss, confusion, courage, and the randomness of who was spared. For others, it will be a renewed commitment to paying attention to civilians in conflict zones and to resisting the flattening of people into categories. In that sense, the book is not only about one date, but about how to witness human suffering responsibly. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand October 7 through human realities rather than through abstract debate. It will speak to those interested in narrative journalism, modern history, trauma and memory, and anyone who believes that names and lives matter more than numbers. Readers looking for a broad geopolitical primer may need additional sources, but as a record of individual experiences, it offers a powerful entry point that can deepen empathy and sharpen moral attention. The benefit to a reader's life is not only knowledge of an event, but also a strengthened capacity to witness, to listen carefully, hold complexity, and resist the impulse to reduce people to symbols. By showing how families and communities carry loss, the book can also cultivate a clearer sense of what violence does beyond the immediate moment, encouraging more responsible conversations and civic awareness. Compared with many similar titles that focus on analysis, strategy, or partisan framing, this work stands out for its commitment to personal testimony and its breadth of perspectives across many distinct stories. That emphasis makes it worth buying as both documentation and memorial, a book that preserves memory in a form readers can return to when headlines have moved on. If you would like to support Lee Yaren, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.